Merry Christmas. As Kev has already said, my name's Mike. I'm one of the pastors here at the church at St. George North Anglican. And we've been talking this evening about gifts. That's what we've been talking about. And a year ago or so, I received this unexpected gift. I'd shared during a sermon at church how as a kid growing up in the late 80s, I'd always wanted a calculator watch. I don't know if you remember what they are. If you're born in the 90s or after that, you probably have no idea about why you would ever want a calculator watch. But so I grew up in the 80s and they were all the rage. And, you know, kids at the time, they would joke about how they could use them in their math exams. And they would joke about, oh, you know, I can find out finally if the person at the corner store is ripping me off and charging me too much for lollies because I can calculate it on my watch. For a nine-year-old, the opportunities were endless with such a watch. But there was no chance for my family to buy me such a watch. My folks couldn't afford one. And to be honest, they couldn't trust me to not break it or lose it. And so a year ago, I shared in a sermon at church about this sadness in my life of never having a calculator watch. And a little while after I shared this story, this couple came to church one day and they handed me a little gift bag and I opened it up and there was a calculator watch. It was very lovely, very thoughtful of them. It was unexpected. I just thought next time I'll just share about how as a kid I always wanted an air-cooled Porsche and see what happens. One can only dream. But you see, in many ways, the Christmas story, it is about an unexpected gift. You see, Mary was not expecting to be pregnant. Lots of you would know the story. Joseph and Mary, they weren't expecting the gifts that were brought to them for this baby that had been born. The world was not expecting the gift of God's Son. And so what I want to do for the next 10 minutes or so is take you to a part of the Bible called John's Gospel. And please remember that as we read the Bible, as Amy did just for us up the front before, as we read the Bible, this isn't make-believe. It's not some fairy tale. This isn't, you know, like the Harry Potter series of the first century that's become really popular. Please don't think like that at all. This is real people, real history that we read about. You can still go to Bethlehem today where Jesus was born. You can go to the Israeli Museum and see one of the oldest biblical scrolls that date back to 7th century BC. This is old and it's historical. So please remember that. But pull out your booklets. And I'll get you just to turn back to that little Bible passage that was read out for us on page 4. So if you want to pull that out and have a look at page 4, because I want to explain it to you very briefly. And I love this little section of the Bible because in it, Jesus gives this great summary of Christianity. See, look what he says at the very beginning there of that Bible verse. Again, it's on page 4. Right at the beginning, Jesus tells us, God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son. And that is what Christmas is really about. It's about the gift of God's Son to the world. It's about God's love for the world that he gave to the world this unexpected gift of his Son. Now, when you first read that, you think, well, that's a bit of a weird gift. I don't know. Do you think that? If you just imagine you'd never heard it before, wouldn't you think that's a bit of a weird gift? I've got two sons. I've also got two daughters. Two sons, two daughters. You don't give away a son as a gift to someone. That's just weird. Though I must be honest and say that at times I've been tempted to give away at least one of my sons, and it wouldn't have been out of love for the person receiving said son. But my sons are here. Don't worry. You're sticking to the family. All good. Don't stress. But you see, you don't give a son, right? You don't gift a son. So why did God give his one and only Son? Well, to find the answer, we need to keep reading on in our passage. So have a look again at that Bible verse right from the beginning. Let me read it again. It says, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son. Why? So that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now, what is that saying? It's saying that God sent his Son into the world to save the world. And that's what we saw with the greatest gift. It's there on our sign. Where is it? Just down here in front of me. See, with the giving of God's Son, a Savior has been born to you. And this is what makes God's gift to us of a son this unexpected gift. Because do you realize that the world needs saving? I don't know if you realize that. Or if I can make it more personal, do you realize from what this Bible passage is saying, do you realize without this gift of God's son to you, then you and me are perishing? That's what that Bible verse says. And God's gift of his son for many people is an unexpected gift because they don't realize they need saving. But that's what this passage is telling us. It's saying to all of us, to you, to me, to our world, to all of mankind, by default, we need saving. And wouldn't it be such a horrible situation to be in a position where you desperately need to be saved, but you're unaware of it? A few months ago, I was surfing with my 11-year-old son. I love to surf, and thankfully, my son likes to surf as well. It's very good. So now surfing to my wife isn't just an excuse for me to go out and have some time off. It's quality time with the son. It's great. Works for us all. But there's a bit of a rule of thumb when you're out in the surf. Don't mishear me now, but there's a rule of thumb. You're not allowed to use the S word, the shark word. If you're in the surf, you can't say shark. It's a no-no. The thought of sitting there on your tiny little foam board with a great white shark circling under you with the potential that it might come up and devour you, it's not a good thought. You're not allowed to use the word shark. But a few months ago, I was in the surf with my son, Sebastian. And at one point, I was looking for him. I didn't know where he was. I was at the back waiting for a wave. And I figured, oh, he must have caught a wave. Maybe he's caught one in. He might be paddling back out. But it took a while. And so I was a bit worried. You know, where's my son gone? And then I saw him on the shore. And I was just about to paddle in to go see if he was okay or if he was hurt or something. And then he got back in the water and he came towards me. And I asked him, you know, is everything okay? And he was a little bit startled. He looked a little shocked. And he said to me, I saw a fin. And so I paddled as hard as I could back to shore. And I thought, well, thanks, son. Thanks for telling me. Like, sure, I'll get eaten. That's all good. Thanks for the warning. He did actually see a fin. Thankfully, it was a dolphin. So when he realized that, he came back in the water. Then he wasn't so worried about me. Now, I wasn't in desperate need of saving at that point. But imagine if it was a shark. I would want to know. I would want my son to tell me. I actually said to him, look, if that happens, you go in. I'll worry about myself. Good idea. But if I can make it more serious, if there was a cancer eating away at you right now, a cancer that would rob you of the rest of your life, however many years you might have left, decades, wouldn't you want to know? If there was this cancer in you robbing you of your life, just about to take it away, wouldn't you want to know? Wouldn't you want the warning so you could catch it in time to stop it, to save yourself? You see, Christmas is a great time, it's a lovely time, but it's also a clear warning from God. The fact that God gave his one and only Son to save us is a clear warning from God that we need saving. And what's at stake is not just a few years or a few decades of your life, it's what the Bible calls your eternal life. It's the whole of your existence after the day of your death. And you may or may not know this, but what happens with this Savior that is born, this baby Jesus, like any of us who are human, grows up. Please don't pray to baby Jesus. He's not a baby. He grew up. And he lived the most extraordinary and perfect life. And at the end of his earthly life, Jesus goes and willingly dies on a cross of crucifixion to save us. You see, the gift of God's Son is an unexpected gift for so many people because they don't realize they need to be saved. You see, do you realize you need to be saved? Do you understand how desperately you need saving that God gave his one and only Son to save you? And do you understand just how incredible God's love is for you, that he sent his Son? See, did you notice that from the passage? If you look again from the beginning, it says God loved the world in this way that he gave his son. And we can use the word love in all sorts of trivial ways. A child can talk about their love of their Nintendo Switch, for instance. To be honest, too many grown men can talk about their love of video games as well. I can talk about my love of football. I love football, though I must say, I think I'm one of the few that does not love the fact that Messi and Argentina got the World Cup. I'm French. I was born in France. Allez les bleus. I'm still mourning. It's very sad. But I don't think I'll ever fully grasp just how amazing God's love is. Because God's love isn't trivial. It's an incredible love. You see, if you're a parent, can you even begin to picture the sort of love that would give a one and only son? Or a daughter, for that matter? I can't imagine loving anything or anyone enough to give my son, to give my daughter, as much as I joked before. And what makes God's love even so much more amazing is just how undeserving the world is of his love. There's much, again, about our world that is great, but also there's so much that's unlovable at times. You see, pick up a newspaper, turn on the news, walk down any street of any suburb in any part of the world, and just hear of the breakdown of relationship. The hurt that people cause each other, the selfishness, the wicked things that we all know that we can do it to each other. And let alone the fact that our world fails to love God, the one who made us, to love him with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul. But we don't love the God who gave us everything we have. And what mankind is very good at is making ourselves God instead. See, have you heard this mantra? Have you heard how often people like to talk about marching to the beat of their own drum? But then what happens if you have a world full of 8 billion people who are all marching to the beat of their own drum? 8 billion drum beats drumming away to their own tune. What happens if all those drums are going at one time but never in unison together? It's chaos. It's distortion. Again, pick up a paper, turn on the news, search your own heart. I know my own selfish thoughts. I know how unlovable I can be in my heart and my mind. And God knows all of it. And that's what the Bible calls sin. You see, there's much in our world about us that is unlovable, and yet God loved the world. He loved me, he loved you, so much so that he gave his son. It's incredible. It's unbelievable if it was not true. And so let me finish with this. Here's my encouragement to you this Christmas before we sing a couple more carols. Can I ask you, please, do not turn this unexpected gift of God into an unwanted gift. We all know what unwanted gifts are. You open up that Christmas present on Christmas morning and it's an extra large shirt that you receive and you think, wow, how fat do the people think I am that gave me this shirt? The re-gift you get that the person who gave you the re-gift forgot that the year before that actually you gave it to them. Or my favorite is once I received from a self-declared artistic relative a piece of coral as a present. As a piece of coral that she found at the beach that she painted herself and then gave to me as a gift. And then we made the mistake of leaving in the house for a few weeks while we were away, and the house smelt like rotten fish for many, many weeks. You see, we all know what unwanted gifts are. But do not turn this unexpected gift of God that he gave you, his son, into an unwanted gift. If you're already a Christian, thank God for the gift of his son. That's what we remember at Christmas. Without the gift of God's son, you would perish without him. Like the passage says, we would stand condemned before God, no eternal life, judgment for all eternity. And if you are not yet a Christian, if God is not a real part of your life, can I just ask, what if God is really there? What if God really did create you to be his? What if you have been ignorant of that God who made you all of your life? And what if you did need saving? And if you were perishing? And then, what if God really did send his son out of his love for you? What if God, in the person of Jesus the Son, really did die for you, to save you? Isn't that an incredible gift? And isn't that a gift you would want to accept? You see, that love of God is what we celebrate at Christmas, that the God of the universe, he doesn't call us to simply love him for no reason. He shows us how much he loves us and why we should love him by sending his son. He gives us the greatest proof, the greatest gift. A savior has been born. Will you trust the Savior that has been born to you this Christmas? Amen.